Your friends, you've heard it said, you can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom ever. A mom can be tough as nails when she needs to be. A drill sergeant was frustrated with the new recruit that he'd gotten. He saw him stumble in. He was slouchy. Everything that the guy did spoke of unkept, disorganized carelessness. I mean, when they marched, he was out of step. He was falling behind. Often he would wake up and call in for a sick day, even when he wasn't sick. He was almost an embarrassment to the whole platoon. And finally, as they were discussing it with the commander, he said, "We've got to do something." And just like that, the young recruit was on target. He was involved. He was doing everything really well. The commander said to the drill sergeant, "What on earth happened to him?" He said, "I couldn't get to him no matter what I did. I couldn't scream, holler, kick him enough. So I called in the ultimate weapon. I called his mother." Oh, a mother is considered old-fashioned to her teenager. She's just mom to a third grader. She's mama or mommy to her two-year-old. But there's hardly a thrill in life that can compete with pointing to her, that wonderful woman, and being able to say to all the world, "That's my mom, that's my mother." And so if you're here with your mom today, point to her and say, "That's my mom." I want to hear you.
"That's my mom."
Good job. Mom's no fool. My mom was impossible to get around. And as tenacious as she was to guard us from all harm, we also learned that you didn't want to cross her. Because she was a woman of faith, and everything she did was going to point heavenward. And she was able to teach God's will and make it easier to understand than when the preacher preached it from the pulpit. You see, because each of our moms brings her own personality into this arrangement called family. And it's unique. It's wonderful. She's not always going to be everything to us, but she is always going to be there for us in some special way. I don't believe anything has ever been said or ever will be said that is eloquent enough or expressive enough to articulate the value of a mom, a true mother. But today, we're going to try in the context of Psalm 14 and John 14. A mom's secret, the place of peace. You'll find on page 11 our outline. Let's start there about walking away. Try to walk away from mom. It's virtually impossible. I suppose you can. Can you walk away from God? If you walk away from God, it's worse than forgetting your mom. In Psalm 14, these are the opening words. Somebody forgot mom, and somebody forgot mom's direction of love. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside, and they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and let Israel be glad." We can try to deny the reality of God, but he gave us mom. Today's Mother's Day, and a warm, very special welcome to you moms, and I want to emphasize that the focus isn't really on you. It's on the one who gave you the love in your hearts, who made you what you are. Now, I don't know if you're like me, men, Do you have some trouble picking a card, going and standing in Walgreens or Walmart, and you look at the cards and you go, that one's, it's too simple. That's too whimsical. That one is just, you know, doesn't have enough words. That one has too many words. And Mickey Mouse on Mother's Day, it just doesn't cut it. About the time they're going to close the store, I finally pick one that just isn't quite all that I'd like to say. Did you know that statistics show that 80% of all greeting cards are picked by women? That's why men, you got to practice a little bit, do your best. Ladies, don't expect them to knock it out of the park the way your other lady friends will. And you know, millions of people are searching for something more than they look for a Mother's Day card. They're looking for something that only really is represented by mom: security. For some, it's a lifelong search that will never be secure. They're going to seek and never find true peace. But we want to talk about the kind of peace that Jesus said in John 14. And I thought it's kind of an interesting contrast. Psalm 14 is so stark. John 14 is so real. Because little did the disciples understand that in a few hours, Jesus himself would face his future with faith. That in a few hours, he would be brought to trial and condemned for things he never did. That Jesus, as he would speak to them, "My peace I give you, I do not give like the world gives." As he would bring that very peace to them, they would be weeping and pulling away. They would be frightened and scattered. They couldn't comprehend true peace because they didn't understand how it would be secured. A mother would give her life for her child. And often she does, just as you saw in the video, hourly, with the laundry and all the details that she puts into it. But there's more than that. Only Jesus can say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So what is it that troubles you? What are the scrapes in your life that you'd like to have healed, that you go to mom or beyond? What is it that you fear about your future? You know, it might be different for every one of you, a loved one's sick or suffering. It might be a concern financially. It might be something as simple as just the irritations. You've got a shoulder that doesn't feel good, a knee that doesn't work right. Maybe those aches and pains make you feel old. You look at the mirror and you don't see that person that you once saw before. But what is it really about the future that bothers you? It isn't just that you're aging and that life isn't in your control. It's that you can't figure it out. You need someone there to care for you. And that's where moms are provided by God. Jesus would say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And he would say, in the context of, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and take you to be with me." Note what a contrast Psalm 14 is as it begins. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Do you know what's amazing about that particular verse? I can't substantiate all of this, but one author said there are 41,173 verses in the Bible, and God gives 1.5 to the atheist. There are 774,746 words in the Bible, and God gives the atheist 11 words. There's an atheist that was complaining to his friend that he has no holidays. "You Christians, you have Christmas, you have Easter." And the guy responded, "Well, you have one, April 1st. You know, when we read, there's a dialogue between God and the atheist, it lasts but a short moment. There's only two sentences. He says, "There's no God." And God says, "Then you're a fool." End of conversation. You see, God has put his imprint everywhere in our world, but people ignore it. This reminds me of a little boy that was talking to his atheist dad at dinner. And with real sincerity, he said, "Dad, do you think God knows that we don't believe in him?" You can be a genius and try to scrub God out of your life, but you can't do it. I don't understand how people can have the ability to put together E equals MC squared and in the natural know how the world unfolds, but yet they can't in the spiritual know what the ABCs are all about. You see, a brilliant person will look at a car and know that there was a designer. They will look at a book and has no problem saying there was an author that laid this out, conceived this, and gave it birth. But then he turns around, looks at the universe, and denies his creator. In 1916, Albert Einstein was so disturbed that the universe was not eternal, but in fact had a beginning. He called this an irritating fact he would like to get rid of. He said, "Philosophically, the notion of a beginning of the present order of nature is repugnant to me. I should like to find a genius loophole." But then in 1949, he wrote, "Science without religion is lame." There's a good quote for you. "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." So obviously, the Creator put us in that position to see. And I hope today you see what's here in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God," as if he could detest making a response to God. But you know what? And it often happened to me. About the time I was being naughty and going the direction I shouldn't have gone, I would hear my mother's voice. You ever have that parent tape? All you had to do was get a little bit uncomfortable and she would come back at you because she's been programming your direction since you were born. There are two types of atheists in America. The intellectual, that is the person that believes there knows God. And then there's the practical, the person that acts as if there is no God. Now that I actually am going to take more issue with the kind of Christianity that I think we're tending towards today. The claim that we are Christians and yet we live as though there were no God. It's a lifeless lifestyle. The practical atheist says there's a God, but I'm going to live without him. There's a Bible, but I'm not going to live by it. There's a Lord's Day, but I'm going to sleep it away or go fishing. Most famous of atheists was a female, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Her son, William, became a Christian. He wrote, "She said, 'I'm an atheist not because I've searched behind every star and looked under every rock to prove there's no God. I'm an atheist because I want to live my life. I want to live my life as if there's no God.'" You see, that's the problem. There's a desire to have no accountability, which is another thing that I think Mom has always been there for me. She always made me feel a little bit guilty, right? But it was the good kind, because Mom was always looking out for my future. You see, the problem is that atheism is not an intellectual, but a moral issue. It's not so much a mental problem as it is a heart problem. Atheism is when you don't want Mom to control anything. You push away. It's that independence. Every kid has to go through an independent phase, going to college, trying it on their own. But have you heard Psalm 10, just four psalms before? Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? The basic reason is because we don't want to be held accountable. But yet, we can delight in a relationship with God because of her love. I find it an anomaly if a person can say Happy Mother's Day and miss God. I just cannot figure out how you could see and thank your mother without thanking God. In fact, sometimes we look elsewhere for peace. We look to supplements, sleeping aids, meditation. We try to relax. We try to get peace by going away, hunkering down in the woods, by fishing, by hiking. And do we really find it there? You can wipe out your entire physical condition and still not be at peace. Because only Jesus can say, "I do not give to you as the world gives. My peace I give to you. Even when mom can't solve all the problems, she can point us in the right direction. And moms, that really is your job. Is from little on, you have bonded in a way that you are able to say, hey, don't forget about love. And where you find love, there you find God. See, the fourth commandment says that you will be able to honor your mom and you will live a long life thereafter. It comes with a promise. The other commandments don't have this attached to it, but this one does. As you honor your father and your mother, you live a long life. And it's interesting. That means to scorn her or her love is to lose out on a key element of life. You see, mom means that we have a place of peace anytime. We have a place to go home. Home, a place of security. And if your soul is troubled, you go to mom. Or if your mom is already home in heaven, you go where you really should be going, and that's to heaven. And you ask, Jesus, give me peace. Now, my daughter went to a presentation just a couple days ago that was about winning addictions. Do you know how things like alcohol and drugs are storming the gates of our families? She talked about a young mother that stood up there, and she had done what my daughter can't comprehend, and that's she has lost her children because of her addiction to heroin. But now she was 2 years sober, and she had come back and was giving a testimony that not only kind of riles you a little bit, but it actually rattles you from inside out, because you just don't like to see a young woman that is so torn apart. There are moms that have pushed away from God. And sometimes, rarely, moms push us away from God. But the point would be this, that she can't stop loving. That's part of who she is. So remembering mom, you will discover God's refuge. I don't know if it's a phenomena for you, but it is in my life. I raised 5 children, and I tell you that it just got worse. The longer I became a father, the less I was capable of handling babies. No, I mean seriously. A baby is a unique creature, and you can do everything exactly according to the textbook. You can feed them and they would throw it back up, too full. You change their diaper and they just, you know, that's not it. They weren't wet. I could try every single thing. I'd hold the baby up in frustration. They would catch eyes, lock with mom. She would come over, put her little head on their shoulder, and that was it. That's really all the baby wanted. It wasn't the details that I could provide. It was the comfort and love that mom could give. Not only did I find that amazing, but I thank God tremendously for that. Maybe I gave up babies too quickly after a while. You know, I'm watching it in round 2 now. They come and, you know, I just delight in watching the mom become a grandmother because there's so much ability to bond. Now, why is that? Why does it work that way? And I can only comprehend this in light of John 14. Because in John 14, he said, I am going to come back and take you to be with me. And that's exactly how I've always felt about my parents, that whenever there was tragedy or problems, first thing I would do is pick up my phone and call them. They were the safe place. I knew where I could put a foot down, and even when I was too big to cry, that I would find comfort from baby on. It's because it's innate. It's written in our DNA. Moms, you are a gift from God, and it isn't even something you can pat yourself on the back. It's because the restless soul can only find peace in the shoulder of protection. And in this case, Psalm 14 gives way to John 14, where he says, I bring you peace, peace on earth. Can you imagine the disquiet in Mary's heart when she would find an angel on her doorstep and wonder what's going to happen in her life and her future? And then to realize that that very son that she has nurtured and cared for was going to be falsely condemned, and then he was going to be treated in a way no son has ever been treated, because he was God's son. And that mother had to give him up as a sacrifice. But it was all proposed for one reason. Because peace is not the absence of sin or trouble or death. You know what peace is? It's not the absence of sin. It's the forgiveness of sins. It is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Christ with us. And it's not the absence of death. It's the sure hope of everlasting life. Peace is believing in Christ that you will never die. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. There is my shelter, my wisdom. Peace is knowing that you always have someone who cares. And that's why I identify mom so closely with Jesus. My mom and Jesus are not quite the same, but pretty close. Because I got my relationship with Jesus through my mom. I've often been amazed by that. And I think that it takes both. I think it takes a strong father who in leadership provides and a mother who cares and loves. Together, that's a circle that creates a protection for a child called unconditional love. I saw a great illustration of peace a couple years ago. I don't remember where I saw the picture. I know it was in a magazine and now I've lost it. Couldn't find it on the internet. But it was about the earthquake in Haiti. Do you remember? 2010, do you remember how big it was? Between 200,000 and 300,000 people lost their lives in Haiti to one single earthquake. That's phenomenal. In our lifetime, I don't think there has been any other except for the tsunami that has come close to that devastation. And there it was, the buildings had all fallen down, fire and smoke are emanating from every street, people lying on the ground, cars wrecked and turned over. There was a mom holding her little child. Little child was resting her head on her mother's shoulder, arms around her mother, but the child didn't look scared. The child looked very peaceful. In time of the worst trouble any life can have, there was peace. You know, I always knew that mom wasn't God, but that she would be the first place I would run when I was hurt. And I hope that today, ladies, you don't try to be God. You never will achieve it. You can't live up to your own standard. I know how high my mom set the standards for my life, and I knew that it was because she couldn't live up to her own standards. But that's why it's not just a mother's secret, the place of peace. It's a mother's secret place of peace. To go there. At the end of Psalm 14, it says, the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. Zion is used 150 times in the Old Testament, 38 times in the Psalms. Zion comes, we think, from a Hebrew word that means to protect. It refers to the temple, then to the temple hill, then to the whole city. And in the New Testament, it's the heavenly Jerusalem that comes down. It's a place of longing and the ultimate place of peace. While on earth, it's the church, because that's our mother. The gift of faith that has been transferred from Christ through our mother to us, the bond with God, the joy of knowing that despite our failures, despite everything we have done wrong, there is someone that we can go back to that loves and accepts us. We found refuge in our moms because she wanted one thing, our good. Our safety, our success. How could we ever forget our mom? And the answer is, we won't. And you moms, the same lesson has been taught to you in Scripture. You go back again and again for strength another day to do your job, just as it was in the film. You understand love, perhaps better than the guys, but you also give it back to us so that it can be completed, the circle. And I pray that today, on your special day, that you take away a peace, my peace I give you, that Jesus has installed in a family that believes and worships in him. It is unique. It is special. It is God-given. And it is yours. Amen.